go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 this morning. I want to try to preach to you on this ideal of spiritual manhood for just a few minutes. It's I could not get away from it this week. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. But before we do, I'd like to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you again this morning. And I ask you to help me in the preaching hour. Lord, it seems the service has a different slant to it than the way I'm going, but Lord, you know what you put on my heart this week. You know how you dealt with me. And so I ask you, Lord, if you would, to help me to be obedient, to preach what I need to preach for your glory and your honor. Open hearts to receive and help us this morning. And all that's said and done, Father, I'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for what you do. Give me clarity of speech and clarity of thought. Father, restrain any hindrance to the working of the Holy Spirit. Arrest our hearts this day, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I don't know, I may taxi down the runway a little bit before I get started, but the Corinthian church was a troubled church. If you were to go back and look at this church, Paul has already dealt with division, man-following, immorality in the church in chapter 5, saints going to law one against another, marriage issues, Christian liberty, disorderly behavior at the Lord's table, misuse of spiritual gifts. If we were to look at the background of this letter, the church he was writing to, we might say this, that church was a mess, had all kinds of problems. There's no doubt that many of us would have thought that's just a bunch of sinners and maybe would not have given much time to trying to help them. But Paul addresses all these individual issues. At the point of this letter, when we read the text and look at the text, Paul does not know if they're going to respond favorably to what he said or if they're going to toss it aside and continue on as they were. And so as we come toward the end of the letter, he's addressed all these problems, and now we come towards the end of the letter, and it's as if he's going to wrap it all up. And of course, he starts out by telling them to continue or to take up the collection for the saints. And I equate that to the Great Commission. You know the teaching on faith promise. And so he reminds them of their giving. He reminds them of their giving. And then he reminds them of their responsibility to the man of God, if you were to look in verses 10 and 11. And then he reminds them of their responsibility in verses 15 and 16 to help those who minister to the saints. And so what he's doing, he's wrapping up. He's saying, take care of your giving. Take care of the man of God. Be sure to help those who are addicted to the ministry of the saints in verse 15. But he also says this in verses 13 and 14. And they just seem to jump out at me. And it's almost as if he's addressed specific problem all the way through the book. And now he comes down to the end and he gives them a formula to stay right. Get right and stay right. He's trying to help this church, and he's addressed the problems, the current problems, but it's almost as if verse 13 and 14 is the remedy that will help them as they go on. And here's what he says. In my, I think we could preach on each one of these if we really felt like it's what the Lord wanted. First of all, he says, watch ye. That carries the idea of being on guard. That carries the idea of a sentry at a guard post who is watching for the enemy to come by, looking for his approach. But there's also some other things, I guess, we could expand the definition to include. What are some of the things? And maybe I'm being cynical, but I really believe many of God's people are not watchful. I really believe that. They live for the day. I believe Peter said they cannot see afar off. They can see what's going on today, but they cannot see the repercussions down the road. And so, what are some things I could preach on that? We ought to watch our hearts. We ought to watch what we give our affection to. We ought to guard our heart. Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 4, teaches us that. We ought to watch for our minds, what we allow in our minds. We could just camp out for a little while, preach a long time on this. We ought to watch our emotions. Did you know many of God's people respond more to emotions than they do to the Word of God and to the reasonable, logical, spiritual logic from the truths of the Word of God? Many of God's people, they're just emotional. Whatever the emotion of the hour is, that's their way. And so we ought to watch our emotions. We ought to watch out for our spiritual state. We ought to watch out for the ministry God has given us. Every one of you have a work to do. Can I say this? When you're placed in the body of Christ, you have a function and a work to do. And some of you really, I suspect maybe in this room, this size, surely there's some who really are not doing what God would have you to do. And you know God has a work for you. So we ought to watch out for our ministry. We ought to watch out for our enemies. I'm telling you, there are spiritual enemies out there today. I mean, they're attacking the individual, the saint. They're attacking the home. They're attacking our children. They're attacking the church. On and on we could go. And we're just as if we're numb or we're unaware that there's spiritual enemies out to destroy us. We ought to watch out for our families and our children. We ought to watch for our church. We ought to watch the words we let come out of our mouth. We ought to watch for our attitudes. We ought to watch for the coming of the Lord. And on we could talk about. I did look up all the scriptures that included watch. It's unbelievable. Look in the New Testament. Sometime you've got a little time to do a study. Just study the word watch in the New Testament. And so we could spend a lot of time on that. And if the church is ever going to be what it ought to be, we're going to have to be watchful. But that's really not where the Lord has for me. And then this morning has for me to preach to you this morning. And then we have the phrase stand fast in the faith. That steadfastness in truth. And I could list, I've got 20 of them, 20 truths that we ought to stand fast in. And can I tell you, in these last days, with seducers and deceivers waxing worse and worse, the pressure on us is to compromise the truths of God's Word. Amen. I'm thinking on what I've been preaching on. Some of you say 2 or 3 months. That's that idea of separation. The world is dumbing us down to Christian separation. As sure as I'm standing here, it's going to be the ruination of the church if we're not steadfast in doctrinal truth. But then I want you to notice what else it says. It says, be strong. It says be strong. And my, we could say much about being spiritually strong. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. That's such an unusual definition. And we need to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6 verses 11 and 13 teach us that. And then we could go to Hebrews 11 and look where David and Samson and Jephthah and Samuel, all of them subdued kingdoms and done all this great work. And no doubt had to be strong to do it. How did they do it? They were strong in faith, in trusting in God. And so we could really, what I just wanted to let you see this morning, we could take each one of those and preach a message on it, each one of them. But if you were following, I left out one little phrase that I want to talk to you about this morning. Now keep in mind, the church is in turmoil. That might be a better way to say the situation of the Corinthian church. Their future is at stake. Paul does not know at this point if they're going to respond favorably and spiritually, or if they're going to continue on as they have been going. And so he says this phrase in verse number 13 that has jumped out at me for some time. And he says this, quit you like men. Quit you like men. Now the word quit carries the idea of show yourself to be a man. Act like a man. Put forth actions that would match up to a man. Here's a church in turmoil, and here's what he says to them in this phrase. If you're going to survive, and if you're going to be what you ought to be, there's going to have to be somebody that's going to have to act like a man ought to act. That's what's being said. And let me say this before I go on. That idea of a man is not stressing sexual preference. It's not speaking necessarily of the male. I think what's being taught there is this idea of maturity. This idea of not being a boy, but having grown up and being a man. And so I want to talk to you. Here's what I think Paul's saying. We've got to have some folk who are acting spiritual if this church is going to go on. He's summing this thing up in a nutshell. He's giving them just a thumbnail sketch of what has to happen if the church is going on. And can I say, the Holy Spirit, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, but the Holy Spirit has preserved that for you and I. Now here's my little thought this morning. Is there a man available? Is there a man available? And so I want to talk to you about what makes a spiritual man. I want to just, I've got, I guess, more than I can preach, but I want you just to flip back a page to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to look in verse number 11. The Bible says in that verse, when I was a child, this is Paul, I understand the context of this verse. I understand he's talking about knowledge and understanding and some of those things. But verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I think there is a practical application for you and I. I use this a lot. I see in this day and time we're living in, I see physically grown men who are still emotionally and spiritually immature. I see that. I see them, even though they're physical and they're physically would be classified as a man, spiritually and emotionally their little children. And here's the first thing, that if this church is going to go on, we've got to have some men who are going to act like men. That's just how it is. I don't know how to say it any other way. Here's and one of the first things that has to happen, men are going to have to put away childish things. When I think about childish things, I think about toys. I think about a child playing. I think about a child unlearnedness and some of those things. I'm telling you, we live in a pleasure mad society. It's a world of pleasure. You look at today, if the weather was fair, you could go to the lakes and the campgrounds and the ball fields and the golf courses, and we're living in a playing society. That's what we think about. We hunt for it, we dig and we fight to get time so we can play and so we can be children. That's what we live for. Many of God's people, they just live for this thing of playing. Can I say, we'll never have the church we ought to have until we get some men. Listen, let me just stop and clarify that. Seemed like the Holy Spirit threw up a red flag. You take your vacation. There's times you need to get away. There's times you need to come apart. I understand that. Don't run me in the ditch on that. But this church, now you mark down what I'm telling you, this church will run into spiritual difficulty and maybe spiritual ruin unless we get some men who put away childish things. That's just how it is. I'd like to tell you it's different, but it's not. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 20, maybe Paul's in context expanding on the verse I just read to you, but I want you to notice what it says in verse 20. In verse number 20, the Bible says this, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children." But notice this phrase, "but in understanding be men." Be men. In understanding. I take the mentality of a little child. I look at them sometimes, they amaze me. I'm amazed at how a child thinks. Many of them think they can do anything. They have a false self-confidence of what they can do and what they can't do. They may even start trying to help you do something, and then you realize they have no understanding about what they're trying to do. And I started thinking about that from the spiritual perspective. And can I just say to you, I'm afraid today we're living in the most spiritually ignorant society we've ever lived in. I believe that. We have more tools available to learn, more books, more access to teaching. But the fact of the matter is, some of the most ignorant ideas God's people holds. It's just ignorant. They have not studied. They have not labored. They have not applied themselves to the Word of God. Let me just take it a step farther. It's amazing what some preachers have preached out of a independent Baptist pulpit, and the sole reason they've done that is because of ignorance. Now, I want to ask you, can you do right if you don't know what right is? Can you do right? We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. Paul told those Thessalonians, you know the commandments the Lord gave. And I'm paraphrasing, but it's chapter 4, about verse 2, I think it is. You know. Here's what I want to ask you this morning. How much spiritual knowledge do we have in the Ridgeview Baptist Church? Really, are we little children running around and really don't know up from down about the Scriptures and what God teaches and the things of God? Now listen, I understand there's all different measures of grace. I don't want you to think bad that I'm throwing off on you. But here's what I'm saying. We ought to read our Bibles. We ought to study the Scriptures. There's some of you, and I'm not picking on you. This is who I'm preaching to. I could sit down. You could preach to me. You could bring any crowd in. It'd be the same. There's some folks pick up their Bible on Sunday morning, and can I tell you what happens? They don't pick it up again till next Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever it is. It's time to go to church again. Some of you, you'd be embarrassed if we knew your study habits. I'm talking about maybe leadership in the church. We might be embarrassed if we knew our study habits. Can I tell you, Paul said this, you've got to behave yourself like men if your church is going to be what it ought to be. And one of the things that men do is they study and learn what thus saith the Word of God. And we need to get a hold to that. I don't know. I know children, you can talk to these children, they don't want nothing to do with school. And many of them say they don't like school. But can I tell you, where would they be if they didn't have it? And where will you be if you don't have some knowledge of the Word of God? I mean, let's just stop a minute. It seems like I need to slow down a little bit and just talk to you from my heart for a minute. Are we knowledgeable about the Word of God? Do you know what God wants? Do you know what God expects and commands, might even say demands, out of our lives and hearts? Here's what he's saying. Here's what Paul's saying. You've got to behave yourself like a man. If we're going to be what? We've got to be mature. This church has to be mature. There's got to be some mature folks in it. We can't be a congregation of immaturity. And I understand future maturity comes from immaturity, but it takes mature people to deal with immaturity. In this assembly right here, we have some folks, it's going to take maturity to deal with the immaturity. I mean, you're going to have to overlook things sometimes, and you're just going to have to just let it go and be big enough to forgive and go on about the matter, don't you see? You see, Paul, as he was teaching in chapter 16, he said this, you've got to quit you like men. You've got to behave. You've got to let your maturity come forth, and it needs to come forth in understanding. Y'all do believe as a common rule that adults are smarter than children. I hope y'all believe that. And maybe that's not always the case. I'm sure it's not always the case, but it ought to be the case. We've lived longer. We've had more life experiences. We know more what's going on. Now, I understand children don't want no help. They know everything, and they don't want any help. And they one of the favorite, where you at, Ben? I'm going to pick on you. One of the favorite things I've heard Kelly Bass say, now, Ben here, and Ben said, I've got this. That's what he says, I've got this. And that's the way a lot of God's people are. I've got it. You don't have to tell me anything. I've got it. You don't have to say it. I know what you're going to say, preacher. I've got it. I already know. Fact of the matter is, you may not know. Ben, fact of the matter is, you may not have it sometimes. Sometimes you do. I know you do. But sometimes you may not, don't you see? And so we're looking at this thing of behaving like a man. And it starts out with putting away childish things. And then it comes to acquiring under spiritual understanding. And then I want you to notice too, and I 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's just back up just a little bit. I know I'm jumping around a little bit instead of preaching the text this morning, but I believe it's what God has given me. In verse number 24, it says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Can I say to you, and I'm just chasing a little rabbit here, it's not wrong to run for the prize. In fact, it's biblical to run for the prize. My, a lot of people try to make you feel bad about that, but it's not wrong. To run for the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery, notice the word man there, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And we could read on there, but here we see a man who is in this race to win the spiritual prize, and here's what it says that he had, or teaches, or implies in the text, is that he has to be temperate. Now that word temperate carries the idea of self-control, of self-discipline in your life, of the ability not to do what you want to do, but to do what you need to do. And my, don't we need that in our churches today? We need men and women who will do not what they want to, not what their flesh. You do know the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. You do realize there's a battle going on. Your flesh wants to go this route, and the Spirit of God is leading you this route. Did you know somewhere? Did you know that's why we discipline children? We don't discipline children to help us feel better about our frustrations over their disobedience. The word discipline, we put discipline in them so that when that same situation arises again and they want to do this, they remember the discipline they received and they refuse to do what they want to and they do the right thing. I mean, that's what discipline children's all about. It's not for you parents to relieve your anger or your frustration. It's to help your children when that event occurs again in their life. And can I tell you, as we serve God, there has to be some self-discipline. You know why some people do not come and are not faithful to the house of God? No self-discipline in their life. They have no spiritual temperance. There's no self-discipline, no self-restraint. They're just here and there and everywhere. I'm telling you, if our church is going to be what it ought to be, you and I have to exercise self-discipline. Amen, amen. And it's lacking in our day. Just children doing what we want to do. No maturity. My, he's saying this, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Here's what it says, in all things. All things. That's hard on folks who are all or none personalities. That's what it says, temperate. In all things we, as a rule, God's people do not have the self-discipline they need to do what they ought to do. Y'all do believe you ought to read your Bibles every day. How many of you did it this week? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just asking you. How many of you had the self-discipline to pray like you ought to? How many of you had the self-discipline, fill in the blank, to do what God wants you to do? Here's what Paul's saying to these Corinthians. You've got to act like men. You've got to be adults. There's got to be some maturity in your life. And it's going to start by putting away childish things. It's going to start with that. My, I'm telling you, it's going to have to be followed with some understanding. We're going to have to know what this Bible says. And then there's going to have to be some temperance to do what we know we need to do. Are you self-disciplined? Are you self-disciplined, spiritually speaking? My. I just want to share some more of these. I'm jumping around. I don't know if we'll go there. You know what Luke 9:23 says? If any man, It doesn't leave out any. If any man will come after me, let him, here it is. I guess it goes right along with self-discipline. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. How many times did you deny yourself this week for the glory of God? See, here's what we've got to have. We've got to have some spiritually mature who behave themselves like mature spiritual Christians ought to. Let him deny himself. And then here's what else it says. Take up his cross daily. I'm just going to tell you what I see in that. I think mature people are faithful. Did you know what I can get out of children? I can get them to work pretty good for a couple of hours. I take immaturity. I'm talking about in the physical world we live in. I can take children and I can get them to work 3 or 4 hours. And they'll work good about that. But I can't get them to work 40 hours. I can't get them week after week to work. And you say, well, they're not supposed to. I understand that. I'm just trying to make the point. I'm trying to make this point to you that, and I've seen it in the Christian walk. Did you know there are Christians who are good for the short term? Now listen at me, this will help you, and it might hurt some of you. They can serve God and labor hard for a week. Bible school week, maybe. Maybe mission week, maybe Bible conference week, whatever it is that's pushing us, they do good for a week. But then they're through. They're washed up. You know what mature believers do? They take up their cross daily. It's a daily thing. Now when we say daily, that means every day. They take up the cross every day. That cross, we could preach a message on that. Speaks of shame, speaks of reproach, speaks of a burden, speaks of a mission in life. And you can just go with that cross, but every day it picks up that cross and follows Jesus. By the way, there's the next sign of manhood. You know what else? You know what else manhood entails? Following. We live in this world where following is looked at negatively. Here's what the devil slipped in a lot of people's mind. I'm my own man. I do my own thinking. And yet they follow the world. Who are they? What thinking are they really doing? You either following the Lord or you following the world. And if you're following your flesh, you're really following the world. It's the same thing. That's what they're doing, following the flesh. Can I tell you, you're a follower. God made us to be followers. He did call us sheep, didn't he? You say, I think for myself. No, you don't. You're either following the world or following God. One of the two. Don't tell me what you are. I'll tell you what the weak do. They take the path of least resistance, don't you see? You take a little child and face two paths. One of them's a little more difficult than the other, even though it might be shorter, this or that. Most of the time, they'll take that path of least resistance, don't you see? Might be more profitable to take the difficult way. They'll take the path of least resistance. That's where God's people's at. They think they're free thinking. They think the preacher's not telling them what to do. They think they're speaking for themselves. And all they're doing is taking the path of least resistance, following the world. Friend, I'm telling you, we need to grow up and be men. Oh my, it stirs in my soul. Stirs in my soul. Preacher has to be so careful even how he says things. He'll offend somebody. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It may not be exact, but that's close. That's Psalm 119, 165 maybe. I'm going to tell you, you love the Word of God, it'd be hard. I like what old Sammy Allen said. He said, they've preached me to the altar and they've preached me under the pew, but they've never preached me out the door. I say, if you love the Lord, if you love the Lord, you like preaching. That's right, but we live in a day, my, you have to You have to choose your words so carefully, or somebody's offended, somebody's hurt, somebody's you've been rude, whatever. However you want to make the scenario, I'm telling you, there needs to be some growing up by God's people so the church can go on for the glory of God. We've got to have that. Here he was, and he had dealt with all the specific problems, and now he's getting ready to leave them. And he said, now listen, you need to be watchful, and you need to stand fast in the faith, but you need to behave like a man. Or for you ladies, I'll say, you need to behave maturely. Grown up. You need to be grown up in the Lord. My, can I tell you, we've got to have that, church. Listen at me today. Here's the spiritual man. He puts away childish things. It's amazing what people consume their life with. I mean, used to, I don't see it since the pole climbers. Used to, they had a pole climbers field down here in Alcoa, and right on the main road. I've come through there many a time. 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, and a bunch of grown men playing D-League softball, thinking they're in the World Series, is out there playing on Saturday night at 10:30. Can I tell you, they won't be in God's house on Sunday morning. And I dare to say, I bet half of them had their name on the church roll somewhere. That's right, I'm telling you right. What was it? It's just little boys and grown-up bodies. Put away your childish things. My, let's study this book. Let's be students of it. You say, I can't get a whole lot out of it. Won't you read it again? You know what I've done? I've run across texts and I'd be struggling with them. I'd just get down. Here a while back, the Lord put something on me to preach and I couldn't get a thing out of that text. I just got down on my knees and said, God, I can't get it. I know this is what you want, but I can't get it. You know what? I know it doesn't work like this every time. God opened that text up to me. Oh my, they throw off on this old King James Bible saying it's hard to understand. Many times I'm afraid it's a spiritual book and it's spiritually discerned and they're not in a position to understand it. My, I say get with God and ask Him to help you. Let's be men in understanding. Let's be men in temperance. Let's be men in cross bearing. My, I want you to notice some of this. Let's be men in following. It takes a man to follow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24, it said, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. My, you know what that's really saying? You ought, if you're really the man, if you're really mature, if you're spiritually what you ought to be, you're going to put others ahead of yourself. That's right. My, these leaders in this church, I hope you Sunday school teachers, I hope you put your children, your students ahead of yourself. Oh, it's so easy just to grab you a little 10-minute lesson, run in there and feel like you've done something for God. I hope you pray for your children every day. I hope you pray for your students every day. I hope you pray God gives you understanding and direction and leads you and anoints your teaching. My, that's so important. Don't you understand? Don't you understand what we're in this battle we're in? We have to, if we're true Christianity, places others ahead of themselves. That's right. I'm telling you right today, we live in a selfish world. My four, no more. My children saved. I don't have to worry about anybody else. We're on our way to heaven. We've got plenty of money. I don't have to worry about anybody struggling. I'm telling you, that's not of God. God's way is for us to put others ahead of ourselves. My, here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 24 again. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. We'll never have a church to be what it ought to be as long as we're a selfish bunch. That's right. I'm telling you right. God's way is a giving way. It's a sacrificial way that you've given to help others. Isn't that Christ-like? Isn't that what Christ did for us? Did not He give His life to, He gave the ultimate. He gave His life to help us, to save us. And if we're going to be Christ-like, we have to give of ourselves to be a help to others. And we have to put them first. Never have a church being what it ought to be until we have some maturity that will put others first. I can just go on. You can look up the word man in the New Testament. It's over 800 times the word man is mentioned. That's unbelievable to me. And I started thinking about it. You know why I think that is? God uses men to accomplish His work. You better remember that. You are the vessels He uses. If the work in Wallen, Tennessee ever goes on, it'll go on because He uses the vessels in this community to do the work of God. Oh, I'm so fearful. I'm so fearful that God's good people, they become lazy and unconcerned and apathetic about the things of God. I'm telling you, we must put others ahead of ourselves. That's maturity. That's maturity, real. You see where I'm headed today. I can preach on. I think about Joab in 2 Samuel chapter 10. By the way, in Colossians chapter 3 and 13, you know what that teaches men, that men, true men do? They forgive. I could go over there and read it to you. There's so many God's people. Can I tell you what they do? They hold a grudge. They won't get even. They say they forgive, but they don't forget. But really, they don't forgive. Mature people have to forgive. Can I ask you this? Did Jesus forgive you of anything? When you think about what He forgave us for, let me just make it personal to me. When I think about what He forgave me for, it's real hard for me to think about not forgiving somebody for what they've done to me. I've never had anybody do to me the way I treat me the way I've treated Jesus. And He's forgiven me for it every time. Mature people have to forgive. I could take you over to Joab and Abishai when the enemy was around them. It looked like it was on a mission for the king. And the enemy had them surrounded. And he said, let us play the man. Let us play the man. Let us be a man and fight. It looked like no hope. They surrounded and all them Syrians from all them different nations. It looked bad. And they just backed each other up against back to back. One fought this way and one fought that way. My, so many truths in that little passage. Fear did not alter their actions. We live in a time God's people's the most fearful, so afraid. No boldness. No boldness. They're just afraid. How are we ever going to serve God with fear in our life? Disregard. Oh, here's old Joab. He disregarded all the danger. He disregarded death. Here's what he knew. He's on a mission for the king. And either he's going to fight till he died or he's going to win the battle. I could just sit and preach on that all day long. We need some folks that's going to engage in the battle. They're going to engage in the battle. Too many sideliners today. They're sitting on the sidelines watching. Now outwardly they're doing a few things, but on the inside they're just sitting on the sidelines watching. We need some folks that'll get in the battle. We need some men that'll get in the battle. It does look hopeless. I look at this world today. It's so pitiful. All the sins that's raging and all the things that's against us, it almost looks like there's no use to fight. But I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to back up, look the enemy in the eye, and just fight till we die or we win victory. That's right. That's what we need. There's old Joab. And he's a strange character. I can't explain a lot about him. Sometimes he seems noble, and other times he seems like he's not even saved. I don't know anything. I've studied about him a lot. I know over there in 2 Samuel chapter 10, he was a noble man. He backed up against the wall and fought for the glory of the king. And God gave him the victory. David told old Solomon, here's what he said to his son. He said, show thyself a man. Show thyself a man. You say, what was he talking about? He was talking about where he had some unfinished business to complete. Can I tell you this? The Lord's work's not one generational. Do you know what really needs to happen? One generation needs to labor and the next generation needs to build on it. That's what Solomon did. I mean, David got all the materials and he had the pattern. It's in his heart. I don't know if it's in Solomon's heart like it was David, but David, man, he wanted to build it. God said, you can't. You're a man of war. You can't build it. Said, I'm going to let old Solomon build it. David said, just son, just be a man. Just be a man and do the work God's called you to do. You see, David's getting ready to step off the scene. You know what I think? I think we need some of you young folks. And I see some awful good signs, but we need you to step up to manhood and do the work. Finish the work. He said you need to take care of old Joab and Shimei. And then you need to help. I forgot the other guy's name. There's one guy in that Barzillai, I believe. You need to help him. Here's what he's saying. He's saying there's more to do, Solomon. This work's not finished. There's some things I'm going to leave undone. You need to finish it. And if you're going to finish and do the work of God, you've got to be a man. You can't build without being a man. You can't fight the enemy without being a man. The burden on my heart is to see some maturity in this church. See some of you guys step up, go on to the next level. Real men labor in building. Real men deal with their enemies. I couldn't help but think about the other Old Testament scripture. I look for a man to stand in the gap. Look for a man, not a boy, Brother Bud. He needed a man. He needed a man that would stand alone in the gap. Stand where nobody else was standing. God uses men. Church, that's all I'm trying to say. It uses maturity. You know, he was looking for a man in Ezekiel. You know what the Bible said? He found none. I wonder what the Lord's looking for today. In the Wallen community, what's the Lord looking for? Can I tell you what he's looking for? I believe I know. He's looking for men. He's looking. It's not leaving the female gender out. He's looking for the mature. Those who will accept the responsibility and yield to the Savior. And follow Him. Just follow Him. It's not a shame to be a follower. What's wrong with being a follower? I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm proud of it, Brother Allen. I'm so proud just to follow Him. I don't think for myself, Dre. I try. Sometimes I do, but I try to let that Word of God think for me. Here's what I'm saying. Ezekiel 33, he's looking for a man. He's still looking for men. He still is. I don't know. That's what God put on my heart this morning. I wonder if anybody, Sister King, just somebody come to the piano if you're able, come on. I just want you to bow your heads for a minute. I wonder if maybe God spoke to your heart. I don't know. I don't want anybody to do anything the Holy Spirit of God hadn't dealt with your heart about, but He's looking for a man. He's looking. It takes that to carry out the work of God. They have to have those characteristics we mentioned. It has to be. Children can't do those things. They just can't. The immature can't do them. Do you need to present yourself to Him? Beg Him to help you. Why? For His glory and His honor, not for yours. In fact, the matter probably, it'll probably devalue you and it'll exalt Him. Sister King's going to play. If you need to obey the Lord, would you this morning?